Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. This semester's return of Fairbanks North Star Borough School District students and teachers to in-person learning heightened efforts to track and monitor COVID-19 cases. As KUAC's Robin reports, that's included enhancement of a district virus case tracking dashboard to make it more comprehensive and transparent.
Very quickly after opening in the last week of January, COVID cases at North Pole Elementary School temporarily closed two classrooms, and children who rode two bus routes were told to stay home to quarantine. Contact tracers were able to puzzle together which students, teachers, and bus drivers were not exposed, and those people were able to return to school. Then, two cases in the first week of opening at Lathrop High School threatened to close classrooms. A routine was developed among building principals and district staff to notify families fast if their children might be exposed to disease. One of the people who makes sure the information goes out is Rebecca Ruby.
I'm so impressed with our COVID team and how much they deal with and get something cohesive and understandable. Like on the other end of it, there's a lot of information coming to them and they've had to figure out how to sort through it and create a process when there was no process.
Ruby is the executive director of the Communications Development and Engagement Department and has helped develop the district's COVID-19 cases dashboard. The person who collects data from each of the Fairbanks North Star Borough's 38 schools and academic programs is Brandy Weiner.
So we have a system currently that for any individual showing symptoms of COVID-19 or has a positive case, each building has a point of contact who enters that individual's information. Then our COVID team can analyze and track and then present the accurate numbers onto the dashboard.
As director of business services, this is not Wenner's normal job.
I'm used to it now. I've been doing it since August. It's ever evolving, and I just do the data crunching and then enter the numbers.
Last semester, most of the students or staff who were tracked with COVID-19 acquired the disease outside of school. But anticipating that might change, the dashboard was enhanced. Ruby says it now shows current and past cases in each school building for better understanding.
Parents and families who are making decisions on whether or not their student needs to go to school that day, other staff, so staff can keep an eye on what's happening in their buildings and buildings around them. We have staff that travel between buildings. And so it was really just wanting to have that transparency there so that people can make the best decisions for themselves and their families.
Each school is communicating directly with families by email and phone calls most of the time to let parents know of any COVID exposures in their children's buildings. And the district does some contact tracing in conjunction with school nurses and the state public health division. But Weiner says the dashboard provides an overview of the way schools are handling the disease.
It's, I guess, 30,000 foot level to ensure that people know our positivity rate within the buildings is very low. So it's just another safety feature and to put staff and families at ease.
Weiner says she tries to update the dashboard by 6 p.m. every day. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The state announced another COVID-19 death yesterday. The Department of Health and Social Services identified the individual as an Anchorage man in his 60s. He was the 285th Alaskan known to have died from the virus. The DHSS also reported 3 new COVID hospitalizations, with 32 current virus-related patients in Alaska hospitals, including 2 on ventilators. The agency also announced 37 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases, a daily tally that hasn't been as low since September. The new cases reported Tuesday included 13 in Wasilla, 9 in Anchorage, and 6 in Fairbanks. Elsewhere in the interior, the Yukon-Koyukuk census area had 3 new cases, and North Pole had 1. 3 new non-resident cases were additionally identified in Anchorage and Unalaska. Alaska's pandemic-long resident case count now tallies over 54,000, plus over 2,000 non-resident cases. A shipping container outfitted as a kitchen and bathroom in Fairbanks will be incorporated into a small home built in the Norton Sound community of Unalakleet. The National Renewable Energy Lab's Coal Climate Housing Research Center in Fairbanks is working with the native village of Unalakleet to build the prototype. Center architect and project manager Aaron Cook says the idea is to construct the part of a house that requires the most specialized materials and skills in Fairbanks.
And then just ship it whole out to the site. Then the container will just be plugged into the house like a cassette. and then the rest of the house will be built around it and roofed.
Cook says the approach will retain basic construction jobs in the community. Native Village of Unalakleet Housing Director Carrie Dwayne says having the kitchen and bathroom completed off-site is key because specialized tradespeople like plumbers are not readily available.
And then once you do get somebody out here, you're paying so much for the cost of their flights and all their equipment and their tools and their housing, and the cost is just astronomical.
Dwayne says avoiding those costs will help make federal Indian Housing Block Grant dollars go further in the community.
This is an attempt to address multiple issues that are really common in housing in the villages.
Overcrowded housing is just so common, and it's so expensive for people to get out of their parents' or their grandparents' house and get their own.
Thomas Simonson with the Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation sees the shipping container small house project as a means to address the issue.
I know how important it could be to just have your own little space, but also have it efficient and make it work, not just four walls and your roof, but you know, actually have it be meaningful and functional.
The container outfitted as a kitchen and bathroom will be barged to Unalakleet this spring and incorporated into a home built there this summer. The Native Village of Unalakleet will select a recipient based on their meeting income and other qualifications. A Haines woman was injured by a bear in an outhouse this past weekend. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports.
Shannon Stevens spent the weekend with her brother and his girlfriend at a remote yurt on Chilcat Lake, 17 miles from Haines. After traveling across the frozen lake by snow machine on Saturday, they cooked sausages over an outdoor fire pit. Later in the evening, she left the yurt to use the outhouse.
I got in there and sat down on the toilet seat, and something just immediately bit me in the butt. So I jumped up and screamed.
She called for her brother, Eric Stevens, who came running to investigate.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to open the lid and look. And I take the headlamp and I grab the lid of the toilet seat and I lift it up. And right there, right at the level of the toilet seat, like maybe an inch or two below, is a gigantic bear face looking right back up at me.
He closed the lid and they ran back to the yurt as fast as they could. Shannon Stevens was bleeding, so they cleaned the wound and bandaged it up. She says she was shocked, but not seriously injured.
I don't know. Maybe it wasn't even a bite. Like, it might have been a swipe with his claw, potentially. I don't think we'll ever really know that part.
They stayed in the yurt the rest of the night and waited till morning to take a look around. The next day, the bear was gone, but the fire pit had been knocked over and there were tracks running towards the outhouse. Eric Stevens says he believes the bear was attracted by the smell of cooking, then entered the hole below the outhouse through an opening downhill.
There's a way out in the back of the outhouse. There's a rock wall, and there's a way for a creature to get in through that rock wall. And so he probably just pushed the rocks over and got down into the hole.
Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Carl Koch conducted a brief investigation after learning about the incident. He believes it was a black bear based on photos of the tracks and other recent reports of bear activity in the area.
Might be the only person this has ever happened to. I wouldn't be surprised over the years if other folks have had, you know, bizarre things. But during February, to sit down in an outhouse and have something like that happen is very unusual.
This isn't the first close contact with a bear in Haines this winter. Earlier this month, a Haines man was mauled by a brown bear while backcountry snowboarding with a group of friends. Shannon Stevens says her experience wasn't nearly as traumatic, but she has learned a valuable lesson.
I mean, I'm definitely going to look down in the hole next time.
You never know what might be down there. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
And I'm Dan Bross.